what's it?
Day six. So Rosh Hashanah is actually day six. Rosh Hashanah is not day one of the world. It's a little bit of a mistake that we made because Rosh Hashanah is the day that Adar Rishon was born. So then we spoke about, I'm just going to go over it a little bit quickly because I think it's important things for us to try to like get into our head. How many generations were there from Adam until Noach? From Noach until Avram? Avram was born in year 1948, 500 years later, Be'erach, what happened? Lots of stuff. Sneh, Yetzias Mitzrayim, Makkos, Matan Torah, Koirach, all that stuff happened 500 years later. Okay, around 500 years later. Around 500 years later was the Binyan Beis HaMikdash. The first Beis HaMikdash was built is in the year 2947. We're already more than halfway through the history of the world. First Beis HaMikdash, how long was that around for? 410 years. How long did it take to build the next Beis HaMikdash? So basically 500 years later, now we have the building of the second Beis HaMikdash. Now after that, Hanukkah happens a few years later. After that, the Amoraim come around in the year 4000. 500 years later is the Melech Kuzari. We said an entire country converted to Judaism. 500 years later is the Rishonim, the Tkufa of the Rishonim. And then we have the Spanish Inquisition happen in the year, the English year, 1492, which is the year 5250. And then 250 years later, which is 5500, is Shabbosai Tzvi. Shabbosai Tzvi was a false Mashiach. That was right before Hasidus started. That was the time of Yaakov Emdin and Rav Yonis and Eibschitz. That was in the time of the Amoraim. And then we're basically pretty much up to date with current history, which is we're already in the Tkufa of the Achronim, and then from there on, Yeshivas Volozhin, and down to today. Anyway, there's something very fascinating that happened simultaneously to the story of the Greek dynasty. The Greek dynasty started many years before the whole story of Hanukkah, by the way. The Greek dynasty, who was the person that built the Greek dynasty? Anyone know? Alexander the Great actually walked here, basically pretty close to where we are. He met with someone by the name of Shimon HaTzadik. There's a street right over, parallel to Shmuel HaNavi, it's called the Chof Shimon HaTzadik. He's buried around the corner. Many of us have been there. It's a great time to go. It's Hanukkah because he met Alexander the Great. Alexander the Great came to Eretz Yisrael with the express purpose of doing what? Destroying Beis HaMikdash. Eventually, the Greek dynasty tried doing that, or whatever, tried defiling it at least. He did not, because when he met Shimon HaTzadik, he got off his horse and he bow down to him, which the people were like in shock. This is the conqueror of the world. This is Alexander the Great. But he did that because of a whole story. We could talk about it a different time. My point is as follows. The Greek dynasty started at exactly the same time that Nevuah stopped. Exactly the same time that Nevuah stopped. There was no more Nevuah in Klal Yisrael, no more Nevi'im. And right then, the Greek dynasty started, and it's not a coincidence. I'd like to explain it to you as follows. It's not a coincidence. What is it about the Greek dynasty that fits well with the world without Nevuah? Do you know what else stopped at the same time that Nevuah stopped? Avodah Zarah, idol worship, happened the same time. Because if we have, you know why idol worship stopped? The Chacham davened for it. The Yetzer Hara was crazy. We can't understand the Yetzer Hara. I mean, idols did stuff. Do you know what I mean? They talked. They even maybe walked. They did stuff. It's a little crazy. But idols, when the Gemara talks about that, one of the Amoraim is like saying, like, I don't get these people. Worship of idols. If you would have been there, you would have picked up your jalabiyah to run towards the Avodah Zarah. That's how much you would have. Avodah Zarah was very enticing. It was very enticing. It was like a quick fix. It's kind of like some of these fake, cheap mekubalim that we have nowadays. But anyway, the point is like this. The Chachom Mespal should be no Avodah Zarah. So Hashem took away Avodah Zarah, but you got to even the playing field. So how did Hashem even the playing field? No more Nevuah. That's it. We had no more Nevuah. Then comes Yavan. What is it about Yavan? So I'm going to tell you something fascinating that you probably never heard before. It's really interesting. This is a great sefer. This and it says the following thing. It brings down a Medrash Chanukah. The Medrash is brought in the Rambam, and Igeres Taman brings down this Medrash. The Yevanim wanted to be Mevatel Chag HaSukkos. You probably never heard that. You heard about lots of stuff. Mila, Taira, all different stuff that they wanted to do. They're Mevatel Chag HaSukkos? Yeah. And it actually says the Medrash the following thing. Atem chashavtem la'akar shemaynes yimei sukkis. You thought to be mevatel 8 days of sukkis. You wanted to take away a yom tov of 8 days. Hinini noisen lehem shemaynes yimei chanukah. You're going to get it. You want to get rid of sukkis? Guess what? Another 8 days of partying. Another 8 days we're giving them chanukah. So why do they want sukkis? That's their thing. They got not shavuos. Shavuos can I get Torah? What sukkis? Why sukkis? Sukkis? They want about those sukkis. Not only that, it's interesting. It brings over here. For example, Shittas Beis Shammai. Beis Shammai says we go 8, 7, 6. We go down, right? It's just as we go up, and that's the way we pass them. But why did Beis Shammai want to go down? He says, well, look, the karbanos on sukkis go in downward order. It's called pariachag. Shaychas. So Chanukah, why? So this makes sense. Because Chanukah is really Keneged Sukkos. Guess what it says? Listen to this. This is wild. It brings over here that in the Sefer HaChav Shmonayim, what did they used to do? They took the Lachu Az, and after the miracle happened, Kapos Tamarim, they took a lulav, and Bnei Oysa Adar Koyim LeChanukah Chag HaSukkos Shel Chag Kislev. They wished each other a Freilichen Sukkos on Kislev. The Sukkos of Kislev. What is going on over here? So I think that the pshat as follows. They want to revatel Sukkos. Because Sukkos is when we celebrate unbelievable miracles. It's about miracles. We had major miracles happening in the desert, right? And we're celebrating all of those miracles. The miraculous existence of the Jewish people in the desert. Man. We had Amud Esh. We had a Be'er, we had an Ani HaKavod, we had all this crazy stuff, miraculous stuff. And as long as Nevuah is around, as long as someone can speak directly to God, so then it's like the supernatural. But once that's gone, now Yovan says, okay, hold on a second. There's no such thing as supernatural. There's no such thing as anything that doesn't fit with nature. Yovan is very into science, Scientology. Is basically Yavan. It's everything has to make sense. There's laws, there's rules. Nothing can break the rules. You cannot break the rules of science. You can't do that. So everything has to go with its laws. So we're going to have to get rid of Sukkos. We're going to have to be mevatel Sukkos. No, you can't celebrate that. Because you're celebrating that, you're saying like you live, you know, above the laws of nature. You're not above the laws of nature at all. So therefore, we're being mevatel Sukkos. That's what Yavan was trying to do. That was their whole approach. And it was only possible once there was no Nevuah. Because when there's Nevuah, so then there's God still in this world. But now that it's Pascha, there's no more Nevuah, Yavan comes in and Yavan says, everything follows laws of nature. More Nisim Gluyim. What? No more Nisim Gluyim. And Kadosh Baruch Hu sends us the Nes of Chanukah. Now, you could talk about the Nes of Chanukah exactly. That was supposed to be the candle in the darkness, because we're going into darkness. That was the last Nes Nigla that Klal Yisrael ever experienced as a nation. The very last one. Maybe, you know, other things happened to individuals, but on a national level, this is it. What? What about Pesach? Why didn't they want to be Mevatel Pesach? Because that's not what Pesach was celebrating. Pesach was celebrating Zman Cheruseinu. It's celebrating our freedom. It's really, even Yom Tov is celebrating our freedom. It's all about the freedom. Really, the focus is on the freedom. It happens to be a byline is major miracles. True, you're asking a great question, by the way. It's a great question. But the byline is the miracles. The main thing is freedom. We got out, and that's it. That's what we're celebrating, our freedom. But the main idea of Sukkos is that we are above nature, that we have miracles happening to us. And that's the one thing that they wanted to, and Chanukah is a reminder of that even in the darkness. We're going now into the depths of darkness, into the Gullus. And Hashem says, I want to remind you of that fact, that we have miracles. Hashem is even here. Sometimes we see them, sometimes we don't. As a matter of fact, one of the things that we say in our davening is, Al Nisecha Shebechol Yoim Imanu. That means on the miracles that happen every single day to us. Every day, every one of us has miracles. Sometimes we see the miracles, sometimes we don't, but they're miracles. Hashem is with us over here, and it's not just like the world runs by the laws of nature. Kadosh Baruch Hu is the one who's running the world. Everything is really just a mask in a certain way. That's where Teva is really the same gematria as Elohim, because it's really all HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that's kind of what, now, there's a very famous question which has many, many answers. I have a sefer here. It's called Yemei Shmoina. This has 500 answers to one question. The same question. I always said that I think is the miracle of Hanukkah. Imagine one question, 500 answers. It's like one pach shemen, 8 nights. It's one question. You got an entire book here on one question. How did that happen? It's a miracle of Hanukkah. So the question is, why are we celebrating 8 nights? It should be 7. Because after all, the pach probably had enough to light for one night. I mean, that's why they put it in that, I mean, whatever the amount they put, probably put enough that it should last for at least one night. So the first night's not a miracle. So how many nights should there really be? 7. So if it's supposed to, so why do we celebrate 8 nights? There's many, many, many answers to this question. The boys that'll be in my house, Bez Hashem, from the Masiba, all have to come up with their own, or at least, you know, get something from the Sefer, but they have to say something creative. But I'll tell you one answer right now. One answer is as follows. It should be 7. But what did Hashem say? You wanted to be about those sukkahs is 8 nights. I'm going to give them back another yomtiv. It should have been 7, but what can I do? It's got to mirror sukkahs. Therefore, it's got to be 8. Therefore, it ended up being 8. Okay, it's a little bit of a, you know, it's an interesting tarot, but a lot of interesting to it. Some over there. It's Lubavitch. You know, the other answer is why not have an 8th night? I mean, you know, we can enjoy it. That's Lubavitch. There you go. Okay, Rabbi Sakitzer, but this is a little bit of just a backdrop of what was going on. I'm trying to give you a little bit of the history of Hanukkah. Tomorrow night there will not be 6:45 speech because there will be the test on Shem and Lamar. Well, we'll continue. Hopefully, the Mashkiach will be speaking on Wednesday night in his regular Musar slot. He'll either be starting at 6:30 or 6:45 to be announced. Bezrat Hashem, those of you that would like to daven Marv, please join us. We'll be starting momentarily. Freilich Hashem.